and thanks for tuning into What's My Tagline. I'm your host, Carol Flagg. On this show, we put the microphone in front of a variety of industry experts to hear their journeys and learn about their roles in healthcare marketing, sales, social media, and PR. Along the way, as we hear their stories, we'll glean some insights, ideas, and best practices. You can follow me on Twitter at Carol Flagg and learn more about the show on the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. My guest today is Aaron Wawa, a partner and chief marketing officer at Agency 1022, a healthcare and healthcare IT PR firm that's been in the business for the last 15 years and celebrating that milestone anniversary. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Aaron, I've known you for a number of years now. And so I first of all, I'm saying that I'm remiss not having you on the show earlier because you are not only a PR expert and a marketing expert, but a friend as well. So thanks for taking your time today.
Oh, yes. Honored to be on. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah. So before we sort of, you know, hear your story and talk about some things, the first question of all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
Yes. I love that you do this and I loathe it at the same time. I gave it a little thought and I chose, this is how we do it for my tagline.
This is how we do it.
So not just because it's an amazing 90s R&B song that I'm fond of. But, you know, recently I've realized that it's been helpful to our clients when I explain not just why we do things a certain way, but how, you know, without getting in the weeds, but, you know, explaining how a case study comes to life or, you know, how we put together a drip campaign. That's helped the folks I interact with have a more, you know, holistic understanding of our team's work, and they don't have to worry about the specifics along the way. And it's just, it's been coming up a lot recently. So that's kind of been my mantra.
So that's why
it's top of mind. It might not win your award for the top three taglines, but I'm sticking to it.
You know, so interesting. You know, I'm a career salesperson, and in all of my, you know, sales books and sales training and along the way. And I'm not the world's greatest salesperson, but one of the things they talk about is when you're having a dialogue with a potential client or customer, you do ask a lot of how questions and not why questions, you know, because why questions can maybe put them on the defensive or make them have to explain themselves, and versus, you know, asking how questions and coming at things from a how approach is a great way to really open up a dialogue and the communication lines.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think it just really helps, you know, have a very clear understanding. We assume so much that everybody knows, you know, all the ins and outs. And like I said, without getting too in the weeds with folks, I just really think it helps bring some clarity when we describe, you know, it's so in our second nature for us, but they don't necessarily understand all the parts and pieces, you know, some of the things that we do and how we do it. So.
Right. So for our listeners out there, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be at Agency 1022.
Yeah. I've always been in marketing, but
that does not surprise me.
My healthcare journey actually started in pharmacy before I received a marketing degree. I worked for a pharmacy while in college, and it was we had contracts with skilled nursing facilities and ALFs all throughout the state of Florida. As you can imagine, we have quite a few in Florida.
Sure. So here in Arizona too.
Yes. Yeah. So I started as a tech as a kid, and I just kind of moved my way up through this. You know, it was owned by Heartland Healthcare at the time. Went into customer service and then kind of took on this quality assurance role. So I was too young to be doing it, but I was traveling to these different, you know, nursing homes and assisted living facilities throughout the state and meeting with, you know, the directors of nursing and all that good stuff. So totally unrelated to marketing, but it was my little taste of, you know, healthcare and working with people, you know, who are involved with patient care. And that was, you know, early 20s. It was before I even got out of college. I was too young to rent my car to drive around to visit the different, you know, directors at the site. So, but it was a good little taste. But after I got my marketing degree, that was kind of my first foray into, I got a marketing job right out of school. And it was a great first marketing job out of school, a small company, and they make medical massage beds, like modalities that pain management clinics and chiropractors use. So we did, that company did about, I don't know, upwards of 50 trade shows a year, and I was responsible for the event management. So not just the logistics, but, you know, the marketing of it, right? Pre, during, post show. And it was busy, but I got to touch a lot of things there. So that was fun. That was a good time. And then after that, I was there a couple of years. I started with, I took a marketing manager role with a medical transcription company. And that was another fun role because it was a small company, but they were in growth mode. They were looking to be acquired and they were, you know, they really wanted to grow at a fast pace. So I was, you know, this one woman marketing show that got to touch a lot of things. And it was just a good time working with, you know, their sales team. And, you know, I laugh looking back. I think we were doing account-based marketing before it was really even a term.
Right.
So really, I mean, these are, you know, these are long sales cycles. These are, you know, high dollar. So, you know, it wasn't just a little one-off type, you know, outreach when we were doing our marketing. So we'd come up with some creative ways, you know, to send material to different stakeholders at the hospitals and, you know, send them gifts or do little touch points along the way. But, you know, I kind of had my hands in everything there because, like I said, I was just a one-person show. So, you know, managed email campaigns, mail, events, all that good stuff. And while there, I met Beth. And the company that I was with, you know, we were looking for some help with writing and content because, you know, one person can't do it all, right?
Right.
And I met Beth there at the time, but very quickly, like I said, we were, you know, the company wanted to be sold and we were acquired by Nuance. And so that happened before I even got a chance to do any work with Beth. We didn't get to write any projects or anything together. Yeah. But that, you know, kind of opened the door and just started a relationship there.
Right.
I did some freelance work and, you know, some marketing gigs here and there and just wanted to kind of figure out my next step and went on to get my MBA. And then I, Beth and her team at the time reached out to me and that was kind of how we started together. You know, they knew that I was doing my own thing and asked if I wanted to join and I gladly accepted.
Yeah.
And I've been with, you know, 1022 ever since.
Yeah. So for our listeners, a bit of it. So we're talking about Beth Friedman, who is the founder of Agency 1022, which we shortened to just 1022. But
right. Yeah,
no worries. Everybody knows her as Beth. She's a wonderful person. Wonderful.
And I know.
In a great place to land. So you were on the pharma side and actually working with, you know, obviously clearly, you know, the nursing homes and whatnot is, you know, arguably, you know, one of the most vulnerable populations in healthcare. And then you went into the trade show and then medical transcription is a startup that got bought out by Nuance. Nuance obviously bought, I think, a number of medical transcription companies. And then you land in PR. So you've brought this sort of, you know, wealth of experience across very divergent areas of healthcare. That's interesting.
Yes, and it's been interesting, you know, with my role at 1022 and kind of becoming comfortable with my place, right? Because I, you know, marketing by education, MBA with an emphasis in marketing, and then I land in a PR agency.
Yeah.
And but you know, it's been great because over the years, you know, I've partnered with Beth Friedman to kind of divvy up the agency and complement, you know, where she's strong on the PR side and media relations and offer some of the marketing services that, you know, weren't there prior. So that's been fun to kind of build it out slowly. I mean, we still, you know, PR is our core, right? Writing, thought leadership, content, media relations is, you know, our primary focus. But to offer, you know, the ancillary marketing services has been a great time.
It's
been a lot of fun.
So 1022, as I said in my opening, you're celebrating your 15-year anniversary this month. Congratulations. I mean, that predates my start in healthcare with the High Tech Act. So Beth has been at this for a while, as have you. So 15 years is a great achievement. You had mentioned in an email to me, and I pulled these bullet points up, that you've been reflecting, I guess, on the last 15 years, and quote some of these lessons learned in that time frame. And keep in mind that we're talking about 2005 to 2020, which obviously have seen some incredible, some good and some bad seismic shifts in healthcare. So what are those lessons learned, those core lessons learned over the last 15 years that you can sort of share with our audience?
Right. We came up, we sat down and kind of said, well, first we high-fived, right?
Yeah, of course. It's a huge...
but after that, you say, well, what happened, right?
Did a Snoopy dance.
Right. What have we been doing? And what do we have to show for it, right? So we just sat down and kind of jotted this list of, could we come up with 15 lessons? And they came very easily to us. It was kind of a fun little exercise, but I won't bog you down with the 15, but I plucked a few of them out of there.
Oh, so I see. So you came up with 15 lessons learned in 15 years. Got it.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
You guys need to do a white paper around that, or an article or something.
We should. I know. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
But
it wasn't laborious at all. It was actually kind of fun. But I plucked a couple out to share. One of the ones that I chose was being proactive. And, sometimes things are very obvious and come across as no-brainers, but, being a consultancy, it's interesting because you start this relationship with folks, right? And they've done things a certain way, but at the same time, they've hired us to come in and present ideas. And it's always a fine line of, gaining trust, establishing a good relationship and understanding where they're coming from and hearing them out, but they're really not paying us to just nod and agree to all of their ideas.
Right.
So, we definitely try to make it a point, and we've learned the hard way. There's been some learning experiences where, we run with something that maybe in our gut, it didn't feel right. So we've learned over the years that, we bring ideas to them and we show them the new ideas and new solutions. And even if they don't stick, it just shows that we've done our homework. It gives us a starting point, right? So the being proactive piece has been, I think, a big piece for us over the years.
So be proactive. Not all ideas are going to work and be good ideas, but just actually having more ideas is better than less, right?
Yeah, it just makes it more fun. We usually do biweekly calls with clients. And I always make it a point, when we're on that phone call, there's already, I've already brainstormed something and it might not stick, like I said, but just always coming to them with, here's an idea that I think we could do. Should we build that out? And just always having that, in your back pocket and kind of going a little bit above and beyond to be proactive, I think, goes a long way.
Yeah. Shows a client that you're always thinking about them, not just right on that call or something, right?
Yeah.
Or 10 minutes beforehand. Yeah. Right.
Right. Scrambling. Yeah. That's not. And, obviously we're all living in strange times. All of us are talking about coronavirus constantly, but, that was an example of when all of this first happened and it was, late March, early April. And we said, what can we do to be proactive for clients? It's not a good time to be marketing or selling, right? So how can we serve them or how can they serve their community? And we jumped at, there were a few organizations that were posting, like free helpful COVID-19 resources. Right?
Yeah, we were one of them. Yes, absolutely.
You guys were one of them, exactly. Yeah. So we wanted to jump on that to say, okay, let's compile a quick, database, right? You guys doing it, Chime, Class, Showmark. And, just pulling from clients what they had put together and just, pushing that out and getting it out for them without them really having to even think about it, bat an eyelash,
right.
Do any work on their end, just being proactive to try to help. Just one thing.
All right. And so you cherry picked a few more. What was the next one you cherry picked? Out of your 15.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to pick just a couple. But you know, we don't have all day, right?
Well, it would be a 3-hour podcast versus a 30 minute.
Right? Yeah, I don't want to put everyone to sleep. I'd like to keep them listening. I think another one I pulled was keep your message simple.
Yeah.
You know, we tell clients that with just, you know, a lot of the times, as you know, it's sophisticated technology. It can be complex. It can sometimes trickle down and then the messaging becomes complex. So we try to keep it simple. But beyond that, for us even, it kind of wraps into my little tagline of this is how we do it. Keeping the marketing speak simple too. Right. Has really been helpful because, you know, we all work in healthcare. We use acronyms every day, but I've found the same to be true for the labels and terms that we use in marketing. And, you know, sometimes our contacts aren't a director of marketing or a VP of marketing. It might be another, you know, executive member on the team or someone else who just doesn't use that content, earned media, thought leadership. You know, those words just don't roll off and maybe there's some confusion. So trying to just be as concise, you know, to simplify or, you know, on the other end to explain it, that this is how it works, this is how we do it, right? To keep things simple. You know, and I think we tried to do that quite a bit, even more so than ever with, you know, going back to just this world that we're living in right now, with messaging and working with clients on their outreach in the last 60 days, it's been, you know, let's keep it as simple as we can. And, you know, we talked about how if the true intention is to help, you know, your services or, you know, your expertise, if it can assist, it's a great path to follow, but let's keep the message simple and provide value, right? So just kind of peeling it all.
Yeah. I think that's such an interesting point. You know, I'm in Arizona, you're in Florida. We're obviously in two states that are seeing a dramatic rise right now in COVID cases. And, you know, I know that there is, for lack of a better term, it's not my term, but people talking about, you know, COVID fatigue, you know, COVID 24/7 and recycle and all that messaging, you know, if people are really fatigued by it and with obvious reasons. And obviously it's going to keep on going because we're still in phase one of this pandemic. I mean, we haven't even really seen a lull per se. So I would think that messaging and keeping it simple and focused and lasered would be even more critical right now just because of this, again, 24/7 COVID messaging that we're in right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we have someone on our team who manages social media and she's been very sensitive to that. You know, she'll even push back on us internally to say, you know, we probably need to think about other things that we want to focus, even if it's feel good news or something, you know, instead of just this constant, you know, one can only take so much, right? of all of what we're seeing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's probably like, she probably doesn't want to use those hashtags anymore. COVID-19 commitment. Yeah. You know, it's just like, it's like, really, can we craft a tweet or, you know, a social media
that's
messaging
exactly
that is
right.
Not about COVID. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
And things like that are kind of, you know, are getting some attention, you know what I mean? In the sense of, you know, you're at any given day, you know, you look through your email and all the subject lines have that in there. It's the ones that don't talk about COVID that actually I like kind of catch my eye, you know what I mean?
Right.
Versus, you know, perhaps in March where everything COVID was catching my eye. Now it's like,
Yep.
So give us one more.
Okay.
One more Erin tidbit.
Yes. This one is another top of mind because we run into it quite a bit and we feel like we've learned that, you know, it's been a good learning lesson to stay in your lane. And that can mean so many things. But for us, it's just knowing our area of expertise and recommending other marketing or PR pros for the rest, right? So, you know, we've learned this with potential customers and just the technology or service that they're offering isn't a good fit for us, you know, based on whoever they're selling to. You know, we don't like to make things work. We are very transparent and candid if we first meet someone and realize, oh, you know what, it's kind of out of our sweet spot. It's not our comfort zone. You know, it's just, it's a little bit too far off and we wouldn't do the best job. So it's that piece, it's kind of two-pronged, you know, just the potential audience and customer we would be serving. And then also just our, you know, our area of expertise, period. Like we learned it with, like SEO, you know, years ago, because we have been in business 15 years, but you know, years ago we could get by, you know, SEO was still foreign, right?
Oh, I know what you're talking. I mm-hmm. like 2009, 2010, we started 2011. I knew SEO, you know, but I don't know mm-hmm. it anymore.
Right.
I do not. Like,
that's right. It's absolutely. You know, our web designer, he would build a site, and that was just an afterthought, or it was one of our check boxes as the page was being drafted and built, right? But now we couldn't hold a torch to what our SEO partner does. And you know, we've learned that over the years to just stay in our lane, you know, either build or buy, right? But just to understand what our strengths are and to know if it's something we can own and manage, whether it's a client that we could, you know, properly serve, or it's a service that we could offer in a, you know, in the best way possible. And you know, that's happened recently too, just with everything going on in the last couple months. We had a few companies reach out to us, you know, it's so like a guerrilla PR marketing campaign for an antimicrobial adhesive, that's not going to be a good fit
Not in your lane, right?
Well, it's not in our lane. But then one that is a relatively new startup, but they are, you know, they have a technology where they're able to help hospitals monitor their staff remotely, like their revenue cycle staff, that's in our lane. So that's a fit. So it's just learning that along the way. And like I said, you know, none of these are earth shattering, but it's just an interesting process of reflection to, you know, to really see what we've learned, and it's been a fun ride for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this, you know, this last point that you're making, that really being candid and honest with what, you know, our potential new business and clients for you, I mean, that, you know, to be honest and frank and open and have that dialogue with them that, hey, we can't do the kind of job that you deserve, that karma, that comes back and pays off in other ways, that good mm-hmm. karma, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we found that to be true. And we just feel good doing it, right? I mean, rather than saying, no, we think we could, you know, let's talk about it, let's price it out, we feel better with just the honesty and being an open book, and the person on the other end definitely appreciates that, because nobody wants their time wasted, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, Erin, it has been so fun chatting with you today. Believe it or not, we're just about out of time. I think I'm going to, from going forward, I think I'm going to have everybody say what, you know, tell me what your tagline is, but it has to be a song. It's related to a song in the 90s.
Yes.
In the 90s. No, in the 90s. I love the 90s. I mean, that was my decade. I love the 90s.
Yes, I do as well. You can play it softly in the background and get it going.
Yeah. Or just, this is how we do it. No. I'm just kidding. So, before we sort of end our conversation, tell our listeners where to find out more information about you and 1022.
Yes. Yeah. You could visit our website, 1022 PR. That is TEN spelled out, number 22, PR.com. We like to make it a little bit tricky, but not too tricky. And we have our social handles. We have, you know, our different LinkedIn and Twitter and all that good stuff is on our site, on our about page. So folks could learn more about me or anybody else on the team.
Oh, great. Well, I encourage anybody in the vendor community listening to this to reach out and check them out. They're a great agency in business for 15 years for a reason. Erin, thank you so much, and stay safe and healthy in Florida.
Thanks, Carol. You as well. I appreciate it.
Thanks. You can learn more about the show at healthcarenightradio.com, and be sure to follow me on Twitter at Carol Flagg, or connect with me on LinkedIn. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?